96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 5th of October, 2023. It's a Culture Thursday. I had guests scheduled. They had to postpone. And so the show is a little loose today. When I opened up today's papers, I saw lots to talk about, including the speech from the throne. Now, I plan to delve into the speech from the throne really on Monday. I wanted to give myself the weekend to go through the speech, but maybe we could touch on that a bit today. I've asked Mr. Newry to join me because the subject matter that has called my attention in the paper is a little heavy. It's always good to have balance in the studio. Always good to have someone to throw ideas off of. Well, good morning, and good morning to Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning. Thank you very much for inviting me to join you today. I didn't expect to be on today with you, but I'm always glad to be present. I know we didn't analyze the headlines yesterday, which was Mashup Wednesday.
It's a bit of a Mashup Wednesday yesterday, though.
Well, it was different. It was more political oriented and not what's trending.
Not what we were talking about, the day itself.
It was Mashup?
I mean, it was kind of like that.
I saw a lot of outfits yesterday. You know, I'm very into pomp and pageantry.
Yes.
And I was happy to see the Governor General, Most Honorable Cynthia Pratt, dress up in that nice dress. I love her gloves. I love her hat. It was good to see that. I find that this opening the house, the men weren't dressed up in their tux as before. They wore suits. I call it church suits. Their wives were dressed up appropriately. But I saw a number of MPs, Member of Parliament, and senators who were not accompanied by their spouses. And I said, perhaps it's the middle of the day, the middle of the week, or is it that their spouse is just sick and tired of the pomp and pageantry? But they were noticeably absent, because I'm used to you walking close to your wife or you walking close to your husband. And that did not happen. One of these days, I'm hoping that they have a runway walk. I mean, mind you, they did have a runway walk. I mean, you know, the lady who died, Joan, who's an interviewer and said, what kind of clothes you wearing? The Joan, the old lady. Joan, the foreign...
Rivers.
Rivers. My Lord, I had to beg that out of you. Joan Rivers. We need to have a Bohemian Joan Rivers.
I want to talk about that. This thing that you call, what'd you call it?
What?
The runway? What you
the
call
runway.
It?
The walkway.
That's what you call it?
Yeah, I call it the political runway.
Right. I like that. The political runway. Let's get back to that. Stick a pin in that.
Yes.
I like that. Let's make this announcement. There's something big happening this weekend, Saturday, the 7th of October, 2023. The third annual Jubilee Bay Festival, hosted by the Jubilee Gardens Neighborhood Watch. And they're inviting you to come and join them. They're having egg and spoon race, watermelon eating contest, sack race, ugly man contest. I would like to thank you all for putting the ugly man contest in on the list. For a second, I thought this was only for children. Mm-hmm. This sound like fun for children. Musical chair, bouncing castle, face painting, hoopla, art and craft. Listen, dear adults, hoopla is our thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's our style.
Mm-hmm.
Let the children play hoopla, though.
I like hoopla.
No, I love hoopla. Arts and craft, they're going to have seafood available, toys, clothes, potato bread, banana bread, straw bags, and crab and rice. Listen, Mr. Newry, they're having a karate demonstration.
Nice.
By Cesario Bannister.
Okay.
I want to show you my karokin and kabotlin.
Yes, I could do that.
And then they have a dance competition, which for me is also slightly like karate.
A dance competition for the matured people or for children?
It don't say.
It's just a dance competition.
Right, which means that obviously we could compete, even if it's against little children.
I don't dance. I stand against the wall and watch.
I thought she was going to say you muggle.
No, sometimes I muggle with the wife.
When you get excited?
Yeah, you don't want me to get excited when I'm muggling with the wife.
You have a brace for your knee?
I have a brace for my back.
Okay, I need a brace for my knee when I start. Third annual Jubilee Bay Festival sounds like it's
where
going to
Jubilee?
Be.
Where is Jubilee?
You tell me where Jubilee Gardens is.
I think it's off Carmichael Road.
Yeah.
There's some Carmichael Road someplace. Jubilee, I'm pitching Cowpen Road, Budget, and that area there, Jubilee Gardens.
Jubilee Boulevard and Fire Trail Road.
Yeah, that's off Carmichael Road someplace.
Yeah.
Eh? Yeah. Yeah. But
I want to find the contact number.
The contact number? Well, but I have them coming on the show on Wednesday, so tell me more about it. I mean, not Wednesday, Friday.
Tomorrow.
Tell me more about it. So we'll get a contact number then.
All right, but let's just put it in their head again.
Go ahead.
Third annual Jubilee Bay Festival.
3 years they've been doing this.
Watermelon eating contest.
I like that.
Ugly man contest.
Okay.
Dance competition.
Nice.
Karate demonstration.
Yeah.
Hoopla is going to be a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen images from the last events.
And which day is it?
Saturday.
Saturday, this Saturday.
Seventh. This Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday the 7th
what time
of October.
It start?
11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
That's all day.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? Let me tell you all what I mean. I mean, you could send the kids out a little early in the day. Let them have fun. Send them back home. Let them, we like to say, bathe up, fresh up. They can go back out in the different level of activity.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out with them, hang out.
I love community events.
Yeah.
The idea that community members came together to host an event to celebrate themselves says wonders about the community itself.
Yeah, and its ability to mobilize, organize, the amount of agency it has, and the capacity to solve its own problems.
I've been struggling to get Freddie Munning's manor to do that for a while. Anyway, I could need help.
Mm.
That part of Fox Hill have issues. I could need help organizing them.
But look here, you got one of the best MPs. In
yeah,
the country.
He have to give me some sponsor money so I can have a souse out. Because I don't want to spend my money on the souse.
The souse out is a fundraiser though, right? So you just need some...
No, I was going to invite the community to free souse.
Oh.
You don't pay for souse out for a community event. No, just bringing all the community together.
So yeah, I believe
the Fox Hill member of Parliament needs to call me and say, hey, I have the money for the souse. And just need to provide a table.
The same way when our friend Ashley Sean Roll from Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
you know, she got accepted into university, a prestigious university
nice.
Where they only accept like 10 people a year.
Really?
With all of the hard work and fundraising that she did, she was unable to meet the financial requirement.
Wow.
However,
mm-hmm.
our Prime Minister, Philip Brave Davis,
really?
Say he put his hand in his own pocket. Here's what happened. She was running for independence. She ran a citizenship test on Twitter.
Okay.
It's like a trivia, how we be doing trivia
all the
time.
Ashley Lady, yes.
Yeah, from Grand Bahama.
Yeah, from Grand Bahama, yes.
Yeah, man.
The historian slash type thing.
Culturalist. Yeah. And it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The platform she used, Twitter, spread it across the Bahamian diaspora,
mm-hmm.
right? And it generated a lot of attention. It was really popular to the point where the Prime Minister was taking the test every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, because every day she produced a new question.
But tell me more about the Prime Minister going in his pocket. I really want to know about
that. I saw a post on social media just last night
mm-hmm.
when I was doing research for today's show. where he congratulated acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I think he, you know, he acknowledged that she was having some financial issues. And he said, listen, I can pay for you. I'll support you.
What you need to go
with the rest of what you have. I there.
That's nice.
Yeah, man.
That's nice. Do you know what school she's attending?
I think it's St. Mary's Benedict's.
Oh, okay. Saint Benedict's.
Yeah, I think it's in Canada. I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, okay.
But what I do remember from the statement was that the school is very prestigious, like in the sense that
they
only accept a very small number of students every year, and she was able to get in.
Good for her.
Yeah, man.
And good luck and congratulations. I have a birthday greeting I need to read. Can I do that?
Yeah.
So a huge birthday shout out to my beloved grandson, Sion Duncombe Robinson. Big 10, beginning of double digit. You're a sunbeam shining ever so brightly in every way. Blessings continually overflowing from the entire Popol and Duncombe families. We love you, Zion. You're precious unto the Lord. And that came in from his grandmother, Jacqueline Duncombe. And we're going to say happy birthday, Zion. Zion. Yeah. I love how they have the double barony of the Duncombe Robinson.
Yeah. You know?
So that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, most times it's not an attempt to diminish the husband, you know, when women take on double barrel names. It's not.
No, that's the child. This child has both names.
Right. But what I'm saying is in some instances, people think that a woman taking on a double barrel name is to diminish the husband, right? Like she don't want to carry his name. But sometimes people do it to preserve both legacies.
Yes, yes. Like my children have to carry on a particular legacy to tell a statement. And a number of my family members put their surname as their middle name,
right,
to carry on that legacy. Remember,
right,
you're part of that clan.
And that's a tradition, and yeah, we should continue to think about that.
Because
There are new models of government, right, that we've been introduced to by people who come on the show and we talk to off the street. They have really interesting ideas around governance that sort of take us back to communal structures,
mm-hmm,
where we're linked together through families.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing who your family is very important.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I'm familiar with the Popol family. They are well-knitted and prestigious family. You know, the grandmother was one of the famous bakers inside the Bahamas. When you hear that name, Popol,
yeah,
you get excited. Say, oh, that's the lady who do the cakes?
Yeah, yeah.
So that family resonates through Bohemiana as one of the premier families who adds to Bohemian cultural identity and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I've got two text here. It says, Aaron, tell Nuri he waiting on Mitchell to give him money for South South. But you on the radio all day. Get your own sponsors. PPPs, public-private partnership. So he's saying only get part, like do the work and show the MP that you get some of the money.
Some of the money.
That's one of the P's.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he can come in and bring in the other PP, which is the public partnership.
But I'm normally an idea man.
Yeah.
I come up with ideas. That's money. That's monetary value there. And I come in out of my pocket.
So you ain't going to get mad if your MP hosts a South South.
Yeah, no, I'll come.
And give out South for free.
Yeah.
And don't call your name.
No, he got to call my name once it's my community.
And you get some South.
Yeah, but I won't eat South.
Well, that's even better.
But I'll share the South because the wife eats South.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's even better. It's not something that you personally desire.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that you know people want, that people like.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that they could get it. I like that, man.
I see we have a telephone call. Do we have any more text?
Absolutely.
Read one more text.
You don't want to hear it. It says, what about ducking rent? That should be an adult competition.
Ducking rent?
It is.
No, I don't believe in ducking rent. The landlord got to get paid. The landlord might get you into the people's house. You don't be ducking people. You all come into people's house.
I mean, it is a blood sport, but it ain't decent. I with you. We don't talk about ducking rent. We talk about structural reform.
Yes.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Gray. Good morning, Nuri.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing fine. I also, you talk about Speech for the Throne.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yeah. I mean, we talking about Speech for the Throne. I can be honest with you. I want to talk about what happened while the Speech for the Throne, Speech from the Throne was happening.
Yeah, well, what's happening is, what I like is the all women ladies could dress. I would like them. You know Hollywood, they got an Oscar award.
Yeah.
And you see the best dresses, so those movie stars, mm-hmm, can compete against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the hairstyle and everything. I mean, they go way out. They go way out for the speech of the drop.
Yeah, one of the most important government days of the year. They see, they want to say it's political, right? Like it's one of the most important political days of the year, but no. It's one of the most important days in governance in the year.
Well, it becoming the most important day for the best dress and the best hairstyle and everything.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. Yeah,
before you move on, I already want to comment. Before I get to the main point.
No, one point.
Now, that's one thing, congratulate to all the women ladies out there, the peace. But I want to comment on one from the throne. What I appreciate is the Lyndon's vision, the national service. And maybe one day you can comment more on that, but that national service.
I can be honest, I can comment on that right now, sir. When I saw the term, quote, I can read it. Though it may be difficult, and though it may take some time, quote, we will not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. This is my favorite part here, Pumpkin Eater. As we seek to, quote, wipe every tear from every eye, close quote. While you say is reminiscent of Pinland's vision, what I felt when I heard that, when I read that and heard it was the PLP does have a time machine because they went back 50 years. They went back 45 years for that phrase, wipe every tear from every eye. How old is that, Pumpkin Eater? Oh, you're gone. My apologies. Producer, let's take the next.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, Robin,
Sir, Robin is a different person. She's a political pundit. I'm a political advocate and commentator.
Okay, Aaron.
Yes,
good morning,
sir.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have an idea that I was thinking about. Yesterday, I was riding past Mr. Collins' home. He's the man who owns the home who died.
All right.
And I was looking at the hospital.
Yes.
I can't see why we can't come up with a plan to tear that house down, because that's only an eyesore, and put the extension there of the hospital. You don't have to probably move out of where they are. They don't have to move from there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of space right there.
You're right. Let me ask you a question.
Put over there your surgeries and all of that.
Right. Here's a question. Is the history that is being preserved there, right? Is the history being preserved there of more importance than the lives of Bahamians living right now?
Have you looked at that? Do you think that's being preserved?
I'm not sure myself. I don't think it's being preserved in a way that's sustainable. I don't think it's being preserved in a way that's A, sustainable, and B, of value to the common man, and C, of value to future generations. And so, kind of with you, put on the table, is the value of the history being preserved there greater than the value of the people who require life-saving healthcare?
That has gone now to the vagrants, and they're not interested in history.
I got you.
So, but they need to look at that. That's a couple acres there.
You know what? It's a good debate. It's a good debate and a good suggestion. I know Sparky brought it up a couple of times.
Yeah, my pleasure. Look here, you could call anytime, even if you called me Robin.
And what we'll do is, I will have that debate separately. The intention of Collins House, Collins Wall, the Antiquities Monument, what's the next word for it? Antiquities Monument, MM?
Antiquities Monuments and Museums Corporation.
Museum Corporation. Mm-hmm. And are they dropping the ball regarding that building? Right? And can we press the government to scrap the entire idea of restoring the Collins House,
mm-hmm,
and use it for expansion of Prince Margaret Hospital?
Right. And then let's make a distinction between the AMMC, the technical staff, and the AMMC, the political directorate, right? Like, is there the political will? Do they
clearly
have the resources?
Yes. Maybe even Friday I might have that discussion. Depends on what type of time I have for my guests.
All right.
I appreciate that.
But it's a good point. Caller, we're coming right now. Don't go anywhere. I just want to mention in the speech from the throne, in the segment on health and wellness, our government, our prime minister promises, he says, my government will build a new specialty hospital in New Providence and will complete the construction of the new hospital in Grand Bahama. Just put that there, which may have prompted the contribution. But I want to make a distinction in our earlier pronunciations from the government. They talked about a healthcare center and not a hospital in Grand Bahama. But let's see what's happening. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, C.A.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just want to congratulate the previous caller on an awesome contribution there. Mm-hmm. It has been one. Colin's house has been a source of conversation for quite some time, in particular as in regards to expanding or extending the space for the Princess Margaret's Hospital. There's not much, I believe, in terms of location that needs to be really taken into consideration. You know, in particular, seeing that that property runs almost adjacent to the current infrastructure that we have there. Mm-hmm. So to develop that into a part of the hospital should not be all that difficult. I do believe that seeing that where the Princess Margaret Hospital is in a very strategic spot, not solely for the citizenry, but also for many of our visitors who occupy hotel rooms over Paradise Island or downtown or even Cable Beach. Mm-hmm. It is in a very strategic location, and perhaps we should look more advantageously on how to utilize that property for the further growth and expansion of Princess Margaret, because it is a whole lot of land, and there's so many other things, especially if we have visionary people in the medical profession and so on and so forth, who could perhaps put in a few additional suites that we do not currently have in the country. I believe that it can work out quite fine for that case in point. So I congratulate him, and I believe it's an excellent idea to look at, to revisit that aspect of expanding Princess Margaret Hospital property again.
Thank you. Right? Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller.
Can you hear me?
Good morning. Morning, caller.
Caller Gernwins.
Good morning, caller.
Caller Gernwins.
You were asking me a question. We got cut off or something like that, eh?
No. We concluded.
Oh, what point did you take? That I mean, Aaron, she said, I got a question.
Well, I can tell you what it was I was about to say, Pumpkin Eater.
I thought you were asking me the question.
Oh, but the question is going to come, Pumpkin Eater.
No, I didn't want it. I don't want to think people think that's being rude.
No, I appreciate what you're saying.
Right,
Mr. Nuri had made a point before you called about the pomp and the pageantry and the political runway. And then you called in and you were very impressed by the style that our women parliamentarians and our the spouses of male parliamentarians.
And a national service.
And public service, public servants, right? It's full of style.
No. Not public service. National service, they mentioned.
National service.
Oh, you wanted to talk about national service. I'm talking about something totally different, Pumpkin Eater.
Right, but I was saying.
Yeah, but I say in something. The point I was making, Pumpkin Eater, alluding to what CA was saying, is that when he called it a political runway, it reminded me that that walk has a purpose. The walk from wherever they start to wherever they finish, whether it's in the house itself or under the AC tent, that walk in the public, on the public road, before the gaze of the public, the voting public, the citizens of that country, has a purpose. And I think we have, to politely say, frustrated to a stronger critique would say bastardized the purpose of that walk. And I believe the purpose of that walk is to remind parliamentarians that they are subject to the mercies of the people, that they could put on their fineries, including the stature that they have achieved by becoming a member of the political class. They could put on all their fancy clothes and their tux and their penguin wings, and they could walk to that House of Parliament. But the question is, can you escape the wrath of the people who have put you there on that walk? Have you performed sufficiently that it's safe for you to make that walk on the public road? I was offended initially by Mr. Nuri's interjection yesterday of the importance of pomp and pageantry. But I took a moment. I said, let me eat these feelings and listen to what Mr. Nuri was saying. And I got a sense of it, you know. These things are important, especially in this moment when you see a Mother Pratt, someone who come with people call the bottoms, come from the bottoms, and made her way to the top, that image for the Bahamians to see. But more importantly, I think, that walk, it's not about pomp and pageantry. Right? It's about whether when you are weighed, if this balance is found, whether you can stand the gaze of the public that you are supposed to be governing, providing for, advocating for. That's, the, as far as I'm concerned, the purpose of, what you call it, Mr. Newry? The political runway.
Yes. Yes.
Now, that's not runway. What you were saying. Now, that's
no,
what I say.
No, it's the political runway. Right? And I think it's a new culture that we have adopted. Right? Before, you'd have walked from the Churchill building with the red suitcase and and walk over to the house.
That's for the budget debate.
That was
the
budget debate. But that was the essence of the walk. Now is a prolonged walk. The walking of the entire Bay Street past the Bohemian people gazing at you.
Mm-hmm.
The dresses, the clothing, the cameramen, the military, right? And then we have an outside session.
Yeah.
Right, where the people can watch and gaze. In fact, we've now making more accommodating by putting an air-conditioned tent on Bay Street, blocking off Bay Street altogether so the people can feel. We now invite ambassadors to attend, right, that this is our day of celebration.
Right. No, man, go on.
No, so I'm saying that the pomp and pageantry is important now because it's part of our psyche, a part of our culture, where you said, and I like that idea, that the gaze of the Bohemian public is also important, that these political enough to walk the streets and have Bohemians, ordinary Bohemian gaze, and face chastisement, public ridicule, public challenge. And this is where I want to transition to, that the COI stage a protest, right? They were able to shout at these members of parliament, make them feel uneasy. And I want to know if that's appropriate. And but why you're saying it suggests that it should be appropriate and encouraged.
Right. No, but I'm not saying that it should be encouraged. What I'm saying is that the politician making that walk should know what to expect from the public based on how they've performed over the past period. Right? That it's not that it should be encouraged. It's that you get what you deserve. Also, we should take the AC out the tent because you're supposed to suffer what the people are suffering. Good morning, caller.
Golly, it's Doc in the Wife along with you on Newry, Aaron.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm holding. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
You know, knowing what we should do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or what they should do. Name it the speech from the throne plus it's the talent show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. I don't know how much talent has been manifested, right?
Or you call it about what do you call it, show?
The gong show.
Go on dress up and stuff like that. The,
That's a different show.
Yeah, that's a different show. You call that a fashion show.
Yes, sir.
The speech from the throne slash, what do you call it just then?
The fashion show.
The fashion show.
Yes, sir.
That's what you everybody want to show off their whatever. Not everybody, most people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bremen.
And that was hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
And that would satisfy Newry because that's what he wanted.
Yes.
He was debating on those clothing and hats and stuff of that time.
Yes.
Yes, sir, Bremen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So the COI was out there. There was a brief moment in our broadcast yesterday where we mentioned that they heard chanting, right, in the crowd, chanting in the crowd. It turns out it was the COI. They turned up to protest. Producer, we could go to that caller. COI protest demands government fire Keith Bell, and they are, quote, standing up for straight Bahamians, close quotes. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. This is the gentleman that called about calling out.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make another point.
I've been trying to get in from 8 o'clock this morning.
Yes, sir.
So bear with me. The lunch program that the government is implementing for the school children, I wonder if they really thought that out. Because most of the children, from what I see, and I used to even be a teacher, the children that are going to use that program are mostly of illegal descent. Illegal descent, rather.
I want you to note, you remember that the Governor General used the term irregular. She never used the term illegal yesterday.
No, they got to use the fancy words. They don't ever face back.
Okay.
Listen, so therefore, it came to mind, we are going to take care of these people from the cradle to the grave.
Yeah.
And this is only business I'm talking about, because I'm talking about my tax dollar.
Okay.
And the amount of taxes I pay a year. And they run me down, they threaten me, they do all kinds of things to me. But yet, here we go, road, and look through those roads.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where they go, who all in the back there, who all coming from out there. All you know, when the school bus dropped them, you see them walk in the back there, and you don't see where they go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the government is aware of what they're starting. Because these people are going to use...
They are,
because
they...
From the cradle to the grave, and they like to say these things to be sporty, but they're spending our money.
I got you.
And every time I turn around, something going up in this country, and they're collecting taxes off of it, and they're not asking nobody about these kind of things.
I want to ask you a question.
These people are already benefiting, I mean, more than me my country.
I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Are you as equally offended when you see taxpayer dollars being used on perks and clothing allowances for politicians that don't perform?
Listen, my first thing is this. Why do they need to buy them cars anyhow? Why? And they're being paid. They're not doing us anything. I used to teach and work in government. They never bought me a car.
And so could
so what's so special about them? Do they got more brains than me or what?
See, I would like to have a... I would prefer to have a conversation about the appropriate allocation of taxpayer and state dollars, right? When it comes to children, let me tell you something. I going to one talk tonight, right? I going to one talk tonight. I want to show you something. I have represented my country across the globe, in Africa, in Europe, in North America, in South America, in the Caribbean. In many instances, I've been treated like a piece of filth in my own country, right? I've been treated like a piece of filth
in
my own country. I represent this country. But you know why I continue to represent this country as if I born the country myself? As if I couldn't be prouder than any place else in the world? You know why? Because of some fundamental principles that I thought were entrenched in governance. Yeah. In the psyche of the Bahamian people. And those three principles are this: universal access to healthcare, universal access to education, and universal access to water. Those three principles caused me to put my country on my back, like I birthed myself, despite how my country treat me. Just feeding children.
No, Aaron,
we could get to all of the other stuff. I with you. We need to clean this mess up.
See, we got what you're talking about on the line of thought you have. It's the way we got to change the way of our thinking. I think we have grown a lot when it comes to talking about that situation, because we talk a whole lot more calmer, and the people who
call
in,
without a doubt,
are much more respectful.
Yes, but yes,
they're much more respectful than they used to be.
Yes.
So we have grown, and this is that ain't going nowhere. That's coming.
Yeah.
So you cannot talk. We have to learn. We cannot talk about it because it's everywhere, even in the schools now.
Right,
you go in the schools and you can see it.
I with you, I've spent a significant amount of time on this show trying to expose the working of the problem. And the working of the problem is multifold, right? What we do know is that we have a labor shortage. We have a shortage of organized labor. Yeah, we got workers. But do we have organized labor sufficient to meet the needs of the foreign direct investment being attracted to the country? Right? We also got a housing Krugman in this speech from the throne talking about rent to own, 180 affordable homes. They are not actually touching the root of the crisis. So I with you, the conversation about migration has expanded. It has evolved. Like you say, it's become calmer. It's become less hateful. But it also now requires us to get into the nuances of it and break it down. But
in time, you see, because what has to happen is my generation and those before me, we have to die out. And the new set coming up would have already be aware of all these things and learn to live with it, because it's like how
it's
we got
normalized.
Used to the drug era.
Yes.
Yeah. All like right. we all got used to the drug era one time ago.
Yeah.
Now that's gone, and most of us are dying out. But as far as these quirks and things with this government, and we talking about trying to save my money, because most of the bad men people don't seem to think it's their money. My money, these people do not need. You could cut back on buying all these new cars every time. Buy the police more cars.
There you go. But look here,
Give the police a raise.
Thank you, sir. I got to go. I got more callers. But thank you for your contribution.
But before you go to the callers, Aaron, I support the feeding system for breakfast.
Yeah, National Breakfast Program.
And I know they're starting with some satellite schools, so it's not going to be all the schools at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe that each school should have a cafeteria. And every and anybody who comes to the cafeteria, especially when there's a good Sous, I'm sure that if you have good sauce there, all Bohemians will go. Teachers and the students.
So that you're generating revenue to support the kitchen.
And generated to support the kitchen. And it doesn't necessarily be automatically free, but it can be near free. Dollar for a $5 meal and make it affordable for all the kids to come and take it. And I'm willing to pay what extra tax it is
for
to
that.
Make sure
but
the,
for that.
Students are able to eat.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I apologize. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yes. Sorry. I'm not sure what happened with the phone lines just there. But I think we have a more effective conversation when we distill it down to the appropriate and effective allocation of state resources and taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. Right? And then there's a whole bunch of stuff we can get into. Should we be spending money in these spaces? Or is the question, are we spending money wisely in these spaces? Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, today your last statement, it's obvious that we're not spending the money prudently. It's obvious. It's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so as it relates to local government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some euphemism here. Provincial. It sounds better, and maybe they may take it more seriously, because you ever notice that in first world countries, they always refer to people in the Caribbean and the developing countries as locals, aboriginals, et cetera, but when it comes to them, it's the citizenry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So euphemism is the art of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the superconscious or hyperconscious mind, I'm very sorry, right? The speech from the throne, you guys should have more open lines and have the public comment on the speech from the throne. So it's really just euphemism. It sounds good. You know, I love Mother Pratt because, you know, she lives right around the corner from, you know, where I grew up, and she was campaigning, meet her, would have these long conversations. And so I respect her, so she knows what type of person is. And she's a very people's person. So to see someone like her is like, you know, it's kind of like relieving, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't fight her down, but the pomp and pageantry and the status quo BS is still continuing. The government is not stoic in any kind of way. The last caller highlighted one of the dilemmas of illegal migration, and that is something that what he said will have far repercussions on the country financially. The government is not stoic in any way.
As far as people riding around, they're just wasteful. 52,
even,
you don't
even
remember...
the government employees are wasteful.
52, one of the competent authorities' addresses when he brought in staff from PHA to ask about the allocation, and people, media asked about the allocation of PPE and resources in the hospital? They know when to be stoic is when...
Aaron, I want to make a comment on healthcare too before I leave.
Yeah, yeah. They know when to be stoic is when it's time for people to get resources.
Yeah, but the thing is, Aaron, even with healthcare, it is a very simple self-explanatory word, health and then care. So obviously they don't care because we see where the peer review scientist John Campbell, Dr. Mobin Saeed, and a lot of other scientists on the, have been revealing what I was talking about. You see, it really is the toxicity of the spike protein that is really just common sense of the physical appearance of the spike protein and the endothelial cells and the damage it causes, the thrombosis, etc. Now, we see where the demographics between 5 and 17-year-olds all over the world increase in myo and pericarditis, and we know what those means. Myo means muscle around the heart. Mm-hmm. Myo means muscle. Peri means periphery. So what I'm saying is the evidence is clear that the vaccine has induced adverse events. My nephew is a living example. He got vaccinated and couldn't wait for over a year. All right? And I don't know if he has the ability to call the radio and talk to him, but what I'm saying is they're denying the truth. So when you're denying the truth?
He's
a young guy that died in Lucho. These young people dying from these...
52,
these,
I'm going to call you and let's connect with your family member and see if he would like to come on air and talk about it. Let's talk about it from the perspective of someone who has experienced it personally, as well as the perspective that you've added to the 52. The conversation is getting hot, Mr. Nuri, and I haven't even touched the article, Standing Up for Straight Bahamians. Anyway, guys, we got a little more time when we get back from the break. But keep calling in, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, 422-4796 for the text line. We'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
For many people, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, upward, that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Joining me, Mr. Nuri. I have a text here. Good morning, Aaron. Good show as always. We need big change. If the Bahamians who were born in the 60s believe the government cares about them, they are lost. After listening to the speech from the throne, I don't believe one word of that speech. I've heard it many times before. To me, it's pure rhetoric and pandering to the masses who are lost. Now, Mr. Nuri, if you had said pomp, poetry, and pageantry, right? Because there's a lot of poetics. A lot of poetics and rhetorics. A lot of fancy talks. I kind of agree with you. Tell Nuri that most of government money go to public servants, the private sector, consultants, and cronies. There is no money for cafeterias in all of the schools. They can't even fix the roads or the hospital. Broke. Wake up, people. It's heavy text.
All we got to do is budget, right? And I'm assuming that this is going to be a rebudgeted and you find the money from someplace.
Listen, where are they going to budget the $4 billion to meet our climate targets? Why do we have climate targets if we have so much carbon credit, blue credit, and green credit.
Agree.
But we don't know where Mr. We don't know where the green credits are right now.
We know where Rick Fox is.
Yeah.
The ambassador missing.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's missing. I think he knows where he is.
He knows where he is. Yes, sir. We don't know where
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, we just don't know where
Nor
he is.
Nor do we know where what he's doing.
But look here, that his family is my neighbors, so.
No, you can't talk about that.
No, I'm not saying I can go looking. I just want to say I can go looking. I have a place to start.
I could go do a Google search, you know, but they don't believe they believe I forget.
Yeah.
I don't forget.
I got you.
I don't forget.
I think we got a call coming in. I want to go to the part of the article. I just want to know, and if you only have a little bit of time, you could call or text. Mr. Lincoln Baines says he's standing up for straight Bahamians.
Straight Bahamians.
And I got a straight Bahamian in the studio with me, Mr. Newry. Are y'all under pressure? Wait. 1 second. Good morning, caller.
Call the police. Call the police.
Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I called back again because I heard Mr. Newry say something about they'll have to find the money. I want him to know I never found any money. So I don't know what kind of money they're going to find. I don't find money. I never found any in my life.
I find money all the time.
Still come out the treasury.
I just want to know where they can find $4 billion all of a sudden.
That's what I'm saying now. So don't use the term find.
They'll find the money.
Say something different, man. You got to say, let's see, that's part of our problem. We don't be real when we talk.
Okay, let's say use the word reallocate the money.
So you mean they have $4 billion?
Yes, man. Thank
you for hanging up, caller. So back to my question. What is it that the straight people, what is the oppression that straight people are suffering from that would cause Lincoln Baines in one of the grandest moments that the COI has ever had to decide to tell the media and the world that they're standing up for straight Bahamians? If I could read from...
And we may have that to show. I'm just waiting on Mike to come in, so I'll see how much time I have. Because I want to understand that apparently straight people are in crisis, that a political party had to address and stand up for them. And I am concerned because I may have to join this movement too, because I find out that we're in crisis.
Yeah. Pride Bahamas, an organization concerned with social justice and empowering the country's LGBTI community, will host a series of events from October 4th to 10th. To the 10th, to celebrate Pride, including a forum scheduled at UB tonight that I will be a panelist on, Mr. Newry.
I come and do a sit-in.
We bring food, bring snacks.
Okay.
We also come here today to stand up for Bahamians, Bahamians who are not LGBT, Mr. Baines said. On this day, the 4th, they are starting what they call Pride Month. Well, I have pride in being a straight Bahamian who is not gay, and we should be allowed to have some pride. Mr. Newry, has anybody stopped you, confronted you, or attempted to compel you to stop being proud that you're straight?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of?
No.
Okay, then. I just check in.
But I appreciate you checking on me.
I call on us to not be ashamed to be who we are. We are not here to condemn anybody, but we are also proud of who we are, and we should have some pride in ourselves. Do you know any gay people that tell straight people don't be proud that you're straight?
Not that I come across.
You don't know any?
No, I don't know
any. I mean, you may know them, but you may have never come across them saying that.
No, not yet.
Right. Oh, there's a lot of concern. I just want to know why this level of concern. There's an article.
My concern is that if you're a fledgling political party and you have the whole gamut of things to complain about and agitate for change and protest about, you have the opportunity to get the attention of the media, the national media, on the opening of the House of Assembly. You choose straightness to be your mandate for the day.
Right.
You don't think that's something concerning? Of all the topics to talk about, let's talk about this British system, right? That there's a pomp and pageantry.
You nice.
Why can't we create and craft our own political system?
I'm coming right now, caller.
They decide to protest and say we're going to support straightness.
You nice, because I was going out there to ask them what's the rationale behind appointing a cabinet minister who said seven-year-olds can consent to sex to the leader of government business in the House of Assembly. That's the thing I would have gone out there to ask if I was going out there to ask people things. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. I just been listening to your show. Everybody calling and talking with what the government ain't doing, with the government ain't this, with the government ain't that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking can never get our problem solved. The people don't get to get it in thousands and go downtown and start demanding and commanding what they want to happen in this country. Things can never get no better.
All right, but I got a couple of steps on the way to downtown. You got to strategize.
It will never get no better.
You got to document. You got to create policy. Here's what it is. You cannot create a vacuum in the hearts or the minds of people. If you yank in, if you pull in an idea away, you have to have something to be considered to fill that space. Right?
Everybody calling basically on the same thing, the government, both governments done. Both parties, after that month, see, every time you put them in power, people start crying next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing over and over and over.
So, you know what the problem is?
We
never have a viable replacement by election day. By election day, all of the plans to replace them fall away. That's why I'm saying we need, if you're going to be a third party and you're going to challenge the two monoliths, you go to Rawson Square, but you go to Rawson Square with ideas that have been turned into policies, policies that have been turned into models, models that have shown success, small into larger national level models. Now, I ain't saying don't protest. I'm saying be armed with preparedness.
I understand you say what you're saying is still quite true. Yeah. But you see when the DNA came out in 2012,
mm-hmm.
Val McCartney, the talk on the street was, oh, he ain't ready, he ain't this, he ain't that. The people have to put you in power. The people have to put you in government.
We said he's incompetent.
And let's see what you're going to do.
We said he was incompetent. We didn't say he wasn't ready. He was incompetent. We couldn't put
well,
him
let
in.
Let me understand what we said, but a lot of
everyone in your who's sensible said it.
Listen.
And anyone who's saying different, crazy.
He don't listen to Mr. Nuri. We're supposed to be talking about mental health today. We can't
listen,
call people crazy.
Listen to me. According to the Bible, if the Bible is real,
yeah.
When Christ came around, when Christ was opening the people's eyes
yeah.
and showing them the truth, the light of the world, the system didn't like that. The people who was running the town and those didn't like it. So what they do? They plot against him to crucify him. So anyone who's coming up against the government now, let's take this like Lincoln being
mm-hmm.
and start to open the people's eyes.
Incompetent too.
So kind of snare him.
He incompetent
and,
also.
And put in the people in their mind and say, oh, this is modest, this is modest. Start. People don't want no change yet.
We don't want Lincoln
I can tell you a story. Before they did it to Lincoln Bain, they did it to me.
Yes, people don't want no change yet.
We
it's
like
time
what
to
we
stop
have.
Talking and just stand up for our country when time
no.
comes instead.
You bullying me.
You gotta fight for your country if you want your country. People are not fighting for their country. They just want to call in the talk show to
no,
talk, and then try to protest. They even ain't coming down, Con.
You can't just invite me to a protest. I need to see solid ideas.
Miss, what's going on in our country? We know it needs to be changed in our country. We can see exactly what's happening. No one's saying nothing.
I say it.
Just complaining.
I got
you. Look at the Haitian situation we have in our country.
Caller,
I don't want you talking about it.
I don't want you to accuse me of cutting you off, but I got.
Listen, one more thing I got to say.
Yeah, quick.
This gay thing is an abomination.
Caller,
if you want to be,
caller, you want to talk on my show? Your language has to be appropriate, man. It has to be appropriate.
You cut the man.
Over the last few, yeah, because look at what he was saying, and how he said it. I've let people call who. Are vehemently opposed to homosexuality. I let them speak. A couple of days ago, they spoke on end. I got no problem with that. Got to be careful with the tone. Producer, let me just read these texts dead quick. Sorry, other caller. Sad indeed. Do you know the government? We play the music. Collects over $100 million a year. That, yes, this is not Mrs. Miriam Emanuel. Over $100 million a year in gas taxes, yet the roads are in the condition they're in with Kongs. Aaron, tell Lincoln he can call me so I can tell him the gay people in his party. Amazing what people say and do to get elected. Hypocrisy. We get to the text on the other side of the break, if time permits, at the end of Mr. Nuri's show. I want to thank Mr. Nuri for joining me this morning. I know he has guests waiting to come into studio. It's going to be an exciting show. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you to all of the callers. And my friend, you call back. Call back. Let's measure our...
Anyway, this has been On the Clock with Aaron Green and, of course, the Cecil Nuri being mischievous.
You think I cut him because he say Lincoln or because he say sissy? That
I think
cut it, producer. Cut me. Cut me. Cut me. Y'all have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.